This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is BFM 89.9, September the 14th, 2020. We're halfway through the first month of the fourth to last quarter month of the year. Oh, it just seems like a really, really trying to leave a really bad year behind us, right? And as we approach Christmas, maybe things will change. The Yuletide feelings will, you know, make us have a bit of positivity going forward.
Yeah, I normally don't like time to like move so fast, but this is 1 year. I kind of just want it to be done and dusted. I think for all of us, it was such a shock, COVID-19, being in some form of another lockdown. And, you know, I suppose 2021, I'm hoping for that vaccine ASAP. Which we're going to be talking about later on,
that's
right?
That's right. There's over like 160 trials and a lot of them.
200,
nearly 200. Quite a lot of them. Russia, China, America, clearly the UK. Everybody's getting in on the act, including the Malaysians.
Yeah, but I'm not sure what we're manufacturing.
But yeah, there should be a solution on the horizon soon. And there might even be like, area-specific vaccines, so Asia for Asians and for North Americans and then for white people and then brown people. And,
you know, I think it's not so much that. I think it's to address certain side effects from all the vaccines.
That's right. Yeah, to reduce all that.
And also, we don't know whether we need one shot, maybe a booster shot, you know, like the flu vaccine once or twice a year. But we'll be watching this space very, very closely. I think the whole world is. And it's going to be quite a feat to actually inoculate, 7 billion people? Do we have the capacity for it? That's the big question, right?
Well, the truth of the matter is that because of the way and how it works, not everybody will get inoculated because A, they don't have the financial power, or B, they don't have the transport to get there.
Yeah, but you know, I think the argument is that you just need to have enough people inoculated, so much so that there's herd immunity.
Yeah, well, in case you don't know the dulcet tones of the person I'm talking to, it's Wong Xiaoning and I'm Koo Soo Jung.
Oh yeah, you didn't introduce.
No, I didn't introduce. Before I get into what we're going to talk about next, I just want to point out that the Premiership football has started in earnest last night. Leicester, Aston Villa, Everton, they all played. Everton beat Spurs.
So does that put you in the good mood or bad mood, John?
It's just news. It's just football. Football, you know, the US Open.
Did you dare say it's just football?
It's just football, you know. It's just the sport.
Okay.
Bill Shankly said there's one thing more important than life and death. It's football. So Shankly was the Liverpool manager in the 70s. But the US Open is being played in earnest as well. Alexander Zverev is up 2-1 against Dominic Thiem. So after having seen Naomi Osaka, will be in the second US Open in 3 years. So that's good news for her.
Yeah, I think so. I'm glad sports has started. It adds a bit of cheer to the whole.
It does. Yeah. It does.
I mean, for my father especially, it's a big distraction. Yeah,
exactly, right?
Yeah. Otherwise, what will you be doing?
So because it's Monday and because it's the start of a work week, albeit we'd have a bit of a hump holiday in the sense of Malaysia Day on Wednesday.
Yeah,
so it's all about productivity. What's your agenda for this
morning? Well, I'm going to ask you whether you're an old school kind of person or do you prefer gadgets? And maybe, you know, being old school isn't necessarily a bad thing.
Exactly. And I talk about how sometimes being busy gives you the potential to make bad decisions. Don't go away. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Traffic with Feeling All Right. Exactly how you should be feeling on a Monday morning at 6:08 a.m. I'm sure you're feeling all right, Wong Xiaoning. You always do. You're already up by, 3 hours already? Having done your exercise?
Yes,
hung
I
upside
have.
Down with your TRX and, you know, feet. All the endorphins moving around in your body.
Adrenaline.
Yeah.
Got to get it going before the day starts, right? Otherwise, you'll never have the time. Mm. So there'll be always this excuse or that excuse.
That's how you come dancing into BFM in the morning.
I'm dancing more like crawling.
So in this age of Slack and Dropbox and Microsoft whatever, you know, Slack and notes and tasks and all that with Google, is there any more people in the world? Are there any more people in the world who keep notes by hand like my father used to do on his notepad? Do those people still exist?
Yes.
Yeah?
And this is based on this article, right, in the BBC Work Life asking the benefits of note-taking by hand. And I'm one of those people. I'm very old school. I carry a notebook with me everywhere. I like it. I like the idea of jotting down my to-do list, my thoughts. Even when I prep for this show, a lot of it is handwritten. And I've got all this recycled paper clipped together with this kind of pin. And as much as I know sometimes it's probably more efficient to type it because then you can just cut and paste, I find it doesn't have that same level of brain thought You know what I mean? As if I'm not so deep in my mind thinking about it when I'm typing it. Typing somehow is more like just almost like vomiting it out versus rather thinking about it.
Yeah, unfortunately, even though we're kind of like the similar vintage, I've gone the other way around, and I've got like to-do lists and notes everywhere, right? And they're all in digital form.
Yeah, I notice you're super digital. I'm the opposite.
Yeah, I'm not sure why, because I just find it's more effective and it's definitely much more portable.
Efficient. Yeah,
do you know what I mean? You just call it up, and there's a dynamic note. But I've got lists everywhere, right? For me, in the first place, my handwriting was never nice.
You were meant to be a doctor, Lechuan.
No, cannot study. So, you know, to have notes like yours, you have to have nice handwriting because to be legible, right?
Only legible. No, the main thing is it's legible to me. And even then, sometimes I'm like, what did I write now? Never mind.
The other thing as well is that by writing it down, you kind of like imprint it on your brain and it makes it more memorable, right? And more indelible. For me though, if I write it down, I tend to lose track of it and I can't find what page it's on.
Oh, okay.
Do you know what I mean? Because notes can't cascade and notes can't, you know, flip through and they're not
But maybe
finite,
what you need is
a
system like a lot of my friends, and I'm going to start, you know, which is to carry that 555 book everywhere.
Yeah, but
the 555 book should have all the things which are the most important in your life.
Correct. But
and it fits nicely into a pocket and it's cheap.
You know what are really nice? You know the moleskin books with then those like elastic.
Yeah, that one's so atas lah. The 555 serves its purpose.
But they're small and they're very finite. So in the end, you've got like, at the end of the 1 year, you've got like 50 555 books, right? And then you've got to number them, then you've got to store them, you've got to keep them. Some of them are heavy after a while. Do you know what I mean, right?
So I don't know. I think that it's very charming.
It is charming, but when you live in a small house like me, it's not charming when you go to clean the house. Do you know what I mean?
Maybe you got like 1,000 555 books.
Yeah, I used to keep all my notebooks. And when you leave through those books, there was a time in the early 2000s, right? I used to write everything down. When you used to go on holiday, you know you do when you...
Journals.
Yeah, I used to go...
The contemplative trial.
Yeah. I used to go... I still love going on solo holidays, right? When you go by yourself.
You just want to abandon your screaming, chaos and...
No, but even then, right? Even then. Yeah. So then when you go on solo holidays, you get to ruminate and contemplate your navel and think about life, right?
But do you find that process where you're contemplating, does it make a difference whether you're typing or whether you're writing it out?
Nowadays, I feel much more comfortable typing it out.
You do. You're not a longhand kind of person.
No.
I don't know. For me, longhand, somehow, the act of it is contemplative in itself. And I find I remember better when I do the longhand. But I know all the practicality and the convenience of it, of putting it all down on the cloud and digital. But, you know, where would we be if we didn't have, like, notebooks with our own handwriting to kind of look back on.
That's the thing, right? Because when you look back in those journals of those days, you instantly zapped back to that era, right? And imagine if those notebooks were to stand the test. It's like photographs, right? Photographs to me aren't really real until they're printed out in like 4 hour or 5 hour or even better like 9 hour, right? Now digital photographs, you can kind of, but they're almost like ephemeral, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, they're not, somehow the emotional connection is just missing, right?
Yeah, and then your writing changes, the way you know, the spacing and all that. So, you know, like Florence Nightingale, right? Her notebooks were discovered after like a couple hundred years and it was beautiful, right? Ringo Starr's, you know, notepad was found. It was beautiful when he wrote like a couple of his songs, Black Crow, for example.
Yeah, and you know what's beautiful? Nothing is more beautiful than a simple thank you note written in
That's
hand
true.
And sent to you.
That's true.
Versus a WhatsApp or an email.
So therefore, I think it's appropriate that you tell us what you think and whether you're one of those kinds that keep notes by hand or keep notes on the internet. Tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Don't go away. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, 19 minutes past 6. That was Jamiroquai with All Right. Jamiroquai is also known as Jason K, also known in school as Jock. The only reason why I know that is because I was in the same boarding house as he was.
Were you ever classmates? I mean, same time or he's much younger?
He was in the same house. So he was in the fifth form, I was in the third form.
Uh-huh.
And he used to sing in the showers.
And but, he could carry a tune even
but
then.
But still, you know what I mean?
Okay.
And he was all right. He was okay.
You Friendly know. To you?
He took a shine to me. Do you know why?
Why?
Because he thought I could teach him kung fu. He did. He said, "Hey, you, where are you from?" I said, "Malaysia." He goes, "Okay, well, wherever that is. Do you know how to do kung fu?" And I said, "Of course."
Then and you says, like drum.
I had no clue what to do.
Did you like do some nunchucks with him?
Any Oriental in those days was considered a martial arts exponent. Yeah,
that's
so
true.
After Jock K befriended me, I was untouchable. Because he was one of the cool
Your
kids.
Your claim to fame is it, Chuang?
I just
think he's absolutely cool. I know he's got like the most amazing sports car collection.
And
the funkiest hats.
Yeah, it's a happening dude, man. He's in his 50s now. Good, amazing how time has flown. But
I know.
Yeah, some people have that and some people don't. I think he's quite happy in his pile with his cars and
if I had so many hits and like made so much money, anyone would be happy.
He's kept current, so we're going to look him up on Spotify. But in the meantime, for the rest of us unwashed masses, we've got to deal with basically work. And in some cases, even though COVID has, ravaged the economy, quite a lot of us are still quite busy.
I think some of us are even more busy.
Even busier than ever before, right? So this is school of thought, and this is what the BBC is proposing, is that if you're really, really busy, it might and could well lead to bad decision-making. I'm going to let you tell me what you think because I'm going to go in the opposite direction.
Okay. I think it's true. I think sometimes when you're overwhelmed, then what you do is you just grab at the first few tasks that you think you can solve. But those tasks may not be the ones which actually are the most important and have the biggest trade-off or payoff. Actually, that's the word. So which goes back to maybe writing that little list down, you know. So before you just like drive headlong, screaming into like all the things you have to do, just calm down, take that 2 minutes and decide what's really important, and then maybe then kind of decide. Because I have done this before where I just feel so overwhelmed and then I end up doing little bits of everything, which then means nothing much at the end of the day.
Yeah, so as an alpha female, which I think you are.
Oh, thank you. I think that is a compliment, actually.
I think it's a compliment. Do you perform better under pressure or without pressure?
With pressure.
With pressure, yeah,
with
right.
some pressure. But there's always like everything, there's a limit, right? There's a level. I mean, sometimes when there's just too much, I feel overwhelmed just like anyone else.
Yeah, because I'm like that as well. I perform better when I'm under pressure and under stress. And I think I can deal with it quite well. And I think I can deal with it because I can... Because of exercise, right?
Mm.
And that's the best thing you can do to handle stress.
Hence the 3 o'clock in the morning wake up.
For you, can't do that. I can't do that. But I try and find time somewhere else, even though I failed in the last 7 days. but you know, when it's a bit
kung
like...
Kung fu, Chuang, kung fu. Go back to your kung fu and the nunchucks.
Yeah, thanks, Jock. It's a bit like when you give like a programmer, like say 12 days to finish like a module, right? And then that fella... Typically, we'll only like muck around for the first 7 days or 8 days, and then he'll go full on in the last 4 days, right? But if you give him like a 3-day timeline to finish a module, he'll be like, bam, he'll be on the case with a flash.
So no dithering then?
Yeah, I think that if you
Are you like that?
I tend to be. When I've got too much time to do something, I just don't bother and I just like muck around and lace about and, you know.
Okay.
So like, for example, if I got like half an hour to do something, push out an email, bam, it's out. It's like 3 paragraphs, succinct.
Oh, okay. You know I'm a little bit opposite to you. I tend to try and do the task as early as possible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm like last minute Joe, man. Last minute Larry.
I think you and I, like when we compare, let's say, preparing for some of our breakfast grills.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, Chuang, for what's amazing when I see your notes is that you have this focus. And maybe that's true when you're like, give yourself that 2 hours to come up with that, you know, the prep. I, on the other hand, I want to read all the background. And I'm not sure it's any better, you know, sometimes.
Yeah, because you can't, because through, by virtue of practice and years of doing the same thing and going around the block several times, you kind of realize that some of it is it's the feel. You know how, like, when you meet some brokers, right? You know, I tell you, I've met some brokers, right?
Stockbrokers,
right? They don't read the Financial Times. They don't look at the market. They don't whatever. They know at 8:59 in the morning what will move and what won't move. They can feel. It's the gut feel. And it's the same thing when you meet a company for the first, interview for some of them. You never met them before. You don't know what to do. And then you just look at the share price. You look at the volume. You look at kind of like the general description. And you kind of know where they've been. Because if you see the chart, right, 1 year, 3 year, 5 years, you can kind of tell what's up.
That's true.
And then you meet the person and then you get another dimension, right?
Yeah.
So does she read anything? It's a bit like what I'm not going to out them, but it's a bit like the company I'm going to talk to later today.
Interesting stuff.
Again, tell us what you think. Are you the kind that is very effective under pressure or otherwise? BFM at BFM Radio or 018-789-8899. Modern English with I Melt With You, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Ray LaMontagne with You Are The Best Thing. I like that song enough to just add it to my Spotify list. So thank you, Mr. Simui Boon, for choosing that that song for me. We are now at 6:40 in the morning. I guess let's do some social media, right? Because I did ask for some comments. Ro has chimed in asking me what school I was in, because I mentioned that Jumeirah and I were in the same boarding house. I said it was Oakham in Leicestershire, and we now know some common attendees. He knew people in the sixth form at the time when I was in third form. And I think there's also a couple of messages from our perennial WhatsApper, Mr. Roberts. He likes to send us headlines, and I think this is interesting. It's related to global tourism, and United CEO saying travel demand to only recover once vaccine is distributed. I guess that's what you're talking about earlier, Xiaoning.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of travel demand.
And we're going to be talking about that maybe at the 7:15 hour or so, about how tourism is really impacting, I mean, not just us, Malaysia, but also in Thailand, and, you know, what can we do about it? There's also another tweet from Farid, and this is regarding whether you're old school or you're a gadget freak, whether you like to take notes or whether you want to type it out. And he says, yes, it's so much easier. I tend to remember what I write down. He's like me. I think he's old school.
That's
I wonder
right.
whether he's got a collection of 555 books or has he got like something more sophisticated?
You know, it's at the end of the day, it's whatever is the most effective, right? Whatever gets you from A to B. So I guess very much in the same vein as the travel demand and the vaccine. News from the UK that the Oxford University AstraZeneca vaccine trial has been deemed safe to resume because it was put on hold last week to allow for investigations after a patient experienced adverse reactions. And I guess the reporters have talked to Oxford, and Oxford said they will not disclose information about the patient's illness for confidentiality reasons. But the New York Times reported that a volunteer in the UK has been diagnosed with a spinal syndrome that can be caused by viral infection. So I guess what is the takeaway here is that if you want to rush out vaccines, because obviously it's important to do so, there are going to be some side effects for different people because of their existing preconditions.
Yeah, but I think the point is also it's pretty normal actually to have some patients who will develop these kind of things. It is expected that some participants will become unwell when you're considering how large these trials are. But separately, Pfizer and BioNTech are looking to expand their phase 3 vaccine trials enrollment. So you're looking from about 30,000 people to 44,000 participants. And this proposed expansion would allow the companies to introduce more trial population diversity. At the end of the day, everybody, I think this is even the drug companies, as much as they want to rush out this vaccine, they are also mindful of the safety issues, because the last thing you want to do is have like lawsuits or, you know, have your reputation tainted that your vaccine wasn't the best or, you know, wasn't the safest.
Yeah, you don't want to be the first one out of the block and then have a whole rash of backlashes as a result of people who have gotten more ill. We know that the World Health Organization says that nearly 180 vaccine candidates are being tested around the world, but none have yet completed clinical trials. But actually, you say the number is actually higher than that.
Yeah, I think Keith Kamat News reported 198 at this moment.
Yeah. Okay, well, still in our patch of the world, Indonesia on Sunday reported their sixth straight day of over 3,000 new cases. That means they've got nearly a quarter of a million people having had having had COVID and nearly 9,000 deaths.
Yeah, what is happening in Indonesia now is that they're reimposing large-scale physical distancing measures beginning today, and they'll be running for the next 2 weeks. So non-essential businesses are asked to operate from home. Businesses in 11 essential sectors, including health, banking, communications and food, are allowed to remain open. But I think Indonesia will struggle a bit like India, because a lot of their people are also day wage earners, so it's going to be difficult for them. Plus, you know, physical distancing, if you are poor or you're living in very bad living conditions, is going to be difficult. But on the flip side, some good news. Melbourne will be relaxing some of their measures. So I think now, at the moment, they're supposed to only, there's a lockdown from 8 p.m. that will be changed to 9 p.m. And if you're living alone, you can nominate one more person to come and stay with you or visit you.
Wow.
So you don't have to be so lonely anymore.
Yeah, so various countries around the world in various stages of winding through their second wave of the virus. Switching to, I think this is East Europe, isn't it? Belarus, right? presumably part of the old USSR, mass protests against Belarus President Viktor Lukashenko has continued for the fifth weekend in a row. Over 100,000 protesters took to the street in Minsk, defying riot police who blocked off the city centre with military vehicles. These riots are really embarrassing for Lukashenko, who will meet Putin on Monday. Putin, of course, is the Russian Prime Minister in the Russian resort of Sochi. They are going to be meeting face-to-face for the first time since their election for Belarus on the 9th of August, which was, at the time, widely seen as rigged. And Lukashenko's claim that he had won a landslide victory triggered a popular uprising against his 26-year-old rule.
Yeah, I think what's unusual about this is that Belarus is actually part of the EU. You know, so there's been lots of noise about, you know, is this the last dictatorship in the European Union, which is all about democracy and freedom of press and the rights of humans, right? So human beings. So I wonder how they're going to navigate this, because it seems like Lukashenko seems to be siding closer and closer to Putin.
Yeah, they're good friends. BFFs, I think. Okay, it's 46 minutes past six. So we're going to come back after this with more news from the local newspaper. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was California Soul with by Marlena Shaw, one of the best tracks of that era. I'm Chuang, joined by Xiao Ning, and it's time to look at the newspapers. I've got my favourite weekly financial paper in front of me, partly also because it's the only game in town where weekly financial news is concerned. Interesting stories. Amulus Holdings, Eng Sang Beng is in there somewhere. Bramal of Credor is in there somewhere, also talking about CSR. And this special report in The Edge, talking about grocers seeing green shoots of recovery, and PE obviously standing for private equity backed grocers, timing their exit, and Village Grocer is in there as well. What have you got in front of you, Shawnee?
I've got the Singapore Straits Times, because we're going to our friendly neighbours down south. And the reason why I want to bring it up is because, you know, this is old news. It happened last week. And it was about this powerful leader in Singapore who accused his maid, domestic helper, of stealing 34,000 Singapore dollars worth of items on appeal. Ayo. And what was interesting was that the lawyer won the case for the domestic helper, which is, you know, and she had overcome really difficult circumstances because there was a lot of evidence stacked against her. Of course, she was a domestic helper. She didn't have the best, you know, kind of help. But what was really interesting was the NGOs kind of gave her the support she needed. And there was, I have to say, a very brave and very determined lawyer that won the case for her.
Yeah.
So kudos, I think, to the lawyer, to the NGOs, and also to this domestic helper. You know, just because you're a foreign worker, you know, and it doesn't mean that you don't have your rights.
Absolutely. That's how the legal world works. Everybody has a right to legal representation. Page 18 of the corporate pages in Edge also with a news break saying, according to Kang Siu Li, one of the more seasoned reporters in The Edge, she is writing about how, very much against the odds, there's going to be a new local airline to be launched. It's called SKS Airways. According to their website, it's got three routes, JB Tioman, Subang Tioman, and Subang Pangkor. And December last year, they took delivery of the first aircraft, a 41-year-old twin otter, to start operations. But now they're going to delay commencement until the fourth quarter. I guess that's not surprising given where COVID is. But it's interesting that in this day and age, people still want to start an airline. I guess there's always where there's demand, there will be supply.
Well, they say that actually now's the test to see who will survive, right? Because I think Southwestern in the US, they came out of a financial crisis. They started during a financial crisis and done really, really well. So, you know, maybe it's like all the weak ones will just fall by the wayside. And eventually when the vaccine happens, you know, the strong will emerge.
I just want to see how strongly travel demand rebounds, if it rebounds, you know.
Do you think it'll be cabin fever? Everybody will be flying everywhere because, you know, that bucket list which you dreamed of and you kind of put off.
Yeah.
You're like, oh yeah, no need lah. And then now you can fly, yeah. It's like, boom.
The other day I was watching Airbnb's Brian Chesky on YouTube, and he was saying that travel and the whole travel sector has just really transformed in ways unimaginable to him last year, because he says that now people who don't want to get on flights, who don't want to be in proximity with other people, they're now taking long road trips within the same continent.
Like us, chuti-chuti, yes, Malaysia, yes. Everywhere is jam apparently, except KL.
Except that they're going to remote places.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's interesting. So it is what it is.
I've got the Star in front of me, and of course the headlines are all about the Sabah elections because it was nomination day on Saturday. So their headline is Wheels in Motion on Campaign Trail. I think the biggest news, I think, was the fact that there was no nomination for Tan Sri Musa.
Mm-hmm.
He's the man.
Wow, okay.
The man who I would say was actively involved in bringing down or tried to have a coup in Sabah is now not participating at all in the elections. And this is going to be very, very interesting. We're going to be talking to Professor Bridget Welsh at 7:45 to really look in details about all that has happened in Sabah over the weekend.
Yeah, okay. I'm still in the edge. Page 24, story by Liu Jiateng, talking about Howard Gunting's healthcare move. There is some skepticism because this business, they used to do two things, right? Wiring and cable. And they used to offer bus services to Gunting.
Once upon a time.
Yeah, Gunting Casino in the hills. Now, they have done a deal with the China-based diagnostic reagents manufacturer, Xiamen Amon Med, to basically be in the COVID, into be the vaccine business. But there is some skepticism. Edge is citing several CIOs as saying that there's doubts over their ability to produce vaccines because developing one is not an easy task. I think least of which they don't have an established track record. So I think that's key.
I don't think they've ever done pharmaceuticals.
No, they haven't. Okay, I've been given the twirling finger by our producer, and it's 55 minutes past 6. We'll come back with the 7 o'clock news, and then thereafter, the numbers and the figures. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.